All right, this is the first time that I'm using one of these. Is it working? All right. You know, you guys give me the first in a lot of things. You really do. Just the opportunity, I think it was in the fall, that I came and I preached, and it was one of the first times that I ever preached in front of a congregation. So today's the first day I'm using one of these. So it's really a blessing for me. What a blessing so far the service has been. You know, I've just sensed that the Lord's love, his desire to touch everyone in a very personal way, his desire to use all of you. It's just a wonderful thing to see God's love in a different place than we're used to. So I'm really blessed this morning to be here. My name is Danny Forte, and my wife Susan, and we, 18 years ago tomorrow, we were married at Grace Church. So, you know, this is our church home. We're really blessed to be back here. The Lord has done a lot of things with us in the last 18 years. In 2009, we, with the help of this church, you know, financially and prayerfully, we started in ministry. And in 2010, we went full-time. Again, without this church, that would have been impossible. So we are very, very grateful to all of you. And whenever we get a chance to come back here, it's a blessing to us. And I hope this morning that God uses me for you to be blessed. What we do, we mainly, because a lot of you probably don't know us, and that's fine. That shows that the church is growing and people are new. We reach out to international students concentrating on Chinese scholars and PhD students and their families at the campuses of UAlbany and at RPI in Troy. And what we do is, I'm still thinking that I'm talking into this. What we do is we reach out in love. We try to befriend the students coming over. Usually they're very nervous. As if you've ever been to a different country, you know, it just feels weird. And many of them never reach out beyond their schooling or beyond their other group of people that are the same ethnic makeup as they are. So, in fact, I've said this story many times, but it is so true. When they ask international students, when they first come over to America, what is one of their goals? You know, what? Of course, the education, the research, that always comes out first. But, you know, all of them say, we would love to be invited over to an American's house. We would love to see how you live. And the sad thing is that only 15% are invited to an American's home. And so that's one of the things that we do. We always have people over our house. And that's been something like what you said. That would not be me. That's Susan. And she has done that so well. And the ministry is blessed because of the hospitality that she shows and the love that comes forth and the friendships that are made and the openness that people have then to attend Bible studies and English classes and events and different things. Okay, I'd like to start today. I tried to pick a message that would be not only applicable to let you know a little bit about our ministry and how it got started and how it grew, but also I believe it's applicable to every Christian, to all of us, because nobody is really different. You know, God has a calling on each of our lives. You know, we are each a Bible that is read by people that probably would never read the regular Bible. And so God wants to use each and every one of us. But one of the things before he can use us is that healing process, that song that we sang, you know, before, the featured song about being honest. You know, God wants all of us to give him our hearts. And then we can walk out upon the waters. So today, the title is Let Me Walk Upon the Waters, and it's really three basic ideas. My sermons or my teachings are very simple, because when I teach, mostly it's the people whose English is not their primary language. So if it's not simple, they're not going to understand it. So it's simple. Surrender, know, and do. Those are the three parts of my sermon this morning. So my prayer this morning is, Dear Lord, let us believe the things and do the things that will advance your kingdom in our lives and in the lives of others. Amen. God never breaks that connection. He is as much interested in you as he is in the people that are on the outside. He wants you to change into the image of his Son, and he wants you also to reach out to others. Those are the two primary reasons why we are here: for us to change, and for us to change, help change others. Okay, let's see if I can do the. Oh, I'm supposed to point it this way. All right, surrender your heart. The first part, surrender, it has to do with our heart. Listen to these scriptures. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The priority, seek ye first. We don't always do that. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, think about his love every day. Think about his death on the cross, not just on Good Friday, but every day. Think of all the things he's given you every day. And then you will be motivated, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When you give to God yourself, you are worshiping him. And it sounds beautiful to him. My voice isn't a very good voice. My wife has a very beautiful voice. But when I serve God, it's my singing to him. Life is a song to God. And what you do is a song to God. And it's very beautiful when we serve him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So that's inward. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's outward. So again, God is interested in your heart, and that you put him first in your life, and God is interested in you reaching out to others. Now, do you always do this? I don't always do it, you know, but the thing is when you realize you're not doing it, what do you do? Do you just say, oh, well, I'm not perfect. What's the big deal? That's not what God wants you to do. You know, just as we received Christ, the scripture says, to live in him. You know, when we receive Christ by admitting, by being honest with him about our shortcomings. Hallelujah. We need to be honest with God about our shortcomings even after we become believers. We need to say to God, Lord, I don't love you with my whole heart. I'm not surrendering to you what I should. Please help me. Change my heart. I'm telling you, God can change your heart. He really can. I've hated people for things that they've done to me, and I knew that was wrong. And I said, God, change my heart. And he's changing my heart. God can change your heart. But you have to ask him and be willing to allow him. Okay. There's a song that we sang. I was so happy today. You guys have great music. And they did the song Oceans really, really well. And in it, one of the verses says, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders." Isn't that an incredible prayer? Lord, lead me where my trust is without borders. I just love imagery. It just sinks into my being, and I can picture it, and I think that way. And that has just touched me. It often makes me cry. A person would actually say that to God. God, lead me to a place where my trust is without borders. The more that's in your heart, the closer you will draw to God, and the more aware you will become of who He is, His presence, as we also talked about and sang about this morning. God wants to give you His presence. But since it's His presence, it's on His terms. And that's where we get sometimes confused, because we like to be in charge so much. We need to say to God, "You are my king." With my Chinese friends, I say, you need to say, "You are my emperor." You know, for Susan and me, it came many times in our Christian walk. Surrender is not a one-time deal. Even though when you first become a Christian, you do surrender to God. But it's not just a one-time thing. The way we got involved in this ministry was a surrendering of our retirement. When I turned 55, I was talking to Susan in the kitchen, and I said, "Sue, in 10 years, I'm going to retire. I'm 63 now." And I said, "You know, what do you want to do when we retire?" You know, and I didn't know what I thought she would say, but I didn't expect she'd say, "I want to serve the Lord full time." I was like, "Oh." And I thought about it, and I said, "Wow, I'd really like to do that too." Say, you know, well, what could we do? How could we serve the Lord full time? And, you know, in my previous, you know, in my job that I had at the time, my job was, you know, the bosses would come to me and say, "We want you to research this project. We want you to implement it. And then we want you to tell us how it went." You know, so I was good at doing that. So I thought, well, all right, I'll start, you know, contacting all the mission organizations and asking them, what could I do so that in 10 years I could be, you know, prepared to serve the Lord full time with something, doing something? The Lord has such a great sense of humor. Because in 10 months, we were accepted to China Outreach Ministries. I thought 10 years, He said 10 months. And so you never know. There is a great adventure out there for every single one of us. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be being a missionary. Like I said before, you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Each one of us has an incredible opportunity to share God's love with someone in this world, whether it's someone in your family, at work, at school, wherever. You have an opportunity to bring someone to church. You have an opportunity when things get tough in your life to tell them about how you are handling it and how God is helping you. These things speak to people. The Holy Spirit will use you and speak through you and touch other people's lives. He wants to use every single one of us by changing us on the inside and then by using us to change others. So I hope that you're willing to start this great adventure. It really is a great adventure. You don't ever have to be bored again. You can have an adventure with God. God wants you, as His children, to work in the family business. Some people it's full-time, some people it's part-time. Doesn't matter. But it's really full-time for everyone because He's always changing our heart. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. The great adventure starts with your surrender. So we're already through one of them, surrender. Again, the surrender one is the most important one. You surrender when you become a Christian, and as you walk as a Christian, you'll have to surrender many times. God is our boss, and that's a good thing. I don't struggle with that anymore because I know I can trust him, and that I know that he has the best for my life in store. He will never let me down. He will never forsake me. He is always there. You can trust him. Okay, the next step is to know. What does God want you to know? It has to do with our minds. Well, the first thing is God uses everything. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, when we left our jobs after 20 years, at that time, there were a lot of people being let go where I worked. And Susan and I both worked in the same place, and people liked us generally. So administration did not want people to think that we were being fired. So they asked us, do we have your permission to send an email out to everyone saying that you are going into full-time Christian service? I had to laugh, because over 20 years, we were not allowed to share anything about God. You know, it was very politically incorrect. And so people knew we were Christians, but I didn't talk about it much. The only time that I was asked to talk about it is when I had to talk to someone who read their Bible during work hours. And I had to approach them to tell them they're not allowed to do that. Because they figured that I would be more sensitive to that. And I did that a number of times. But here we are, after 20 years, we're getting ready to leave in less than a year. They send this memo out, this email out, and now people are knocking my door down to find out, what the heck is this all about? What do you mean, Christian service full time? What are you doing? I had more opportunities in the last 6 months to share Jesus than I had in 20 years. God used everything. He uses everything. The death of my daughter, and a lot of you know, a lot of you pray, a lot of you helped me out so much during that time. So many people came up to me that I never knew that they had lost a child. God used that so that I was able to minister to other hurting people. Because God gave me great grace and peace during that very difficult time, directly and through my brothers and sisters. And I was able to help people. Also in my life, a window of eternity opened that is never completely closed. And my sense of this life is very different now than it ever was before. And I'm able to look at things very differently because of that. So God used one of the most terrible things that could ever happen to anyone in my life for good. And God promises that all things he will use for good. Even when I went to university, I majored in education, but deep down inside, I really wanted to be an ambassador. I knew I wasn't going to be an ambassador, but I minored in international relations, and I learned about world governments, and I had professors who served as UN ambassadors, and I was just so excited, even though I said to myself, I'm never really going to do this. Well, a couple of years ago, God whispered to me, you're my ambassador. So even that little desire that I had, and my little minor back in university, God has used that and enabled me to be an ambassador to Chinese people and to lots of different types of people. I mean, we work with two organizations. We're full-time with China Outreach Ministries, but we're associate staff with Horizons International. And Horizons International reaches out to all international students. Was it last year that we had people from Singapore? Singaporeans. Isn't that cool? Singaporeans. And they came over here. They were Christian, but they really didn't understand what being Christian was. And by the time that they left, they were on fire for the Lord. And so we consider that a real opportunity and a blessing to touch these people from the little country, a city-state of Singapore. So God uses everything. So we need to know that so we don't get discouraged. Nothing in your life is wasted. The devil will tell you that, but it's not true. God uses everything for those who love him. Your upbringing, your education, your work experience, your life experiences, call out to God and say, Lord, let me see how you're using these things. Help me, Lord. And he will. You know, sometimes we can't see how God's using something until after looking at it. Like, you have to kind of, I think of it as in a car. You look in the rearview mirror and you say, ah, that's what he was doing. That's how he used us. And so sometimes we don't see until afterwards. But he always uses everything. And then the next thing is that he will teach you and guide you. You need to know that everything that you go through, that he is either guiding you or teaching you. And when you don't know where to go, he will guide you. You can be sure of it. It may not come in your time frame, but he will. He never forsakes anyone. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. God wants you to plan, God wants you to do, but know that God is in control. You know, the scriptures about Peter walking on the water, he had to get out of the boat in order to get on the water. I had many boats in my life that were stopping me from doing what I'm doing today. I had no desire to go on a missions trip. I'd often said to Susan, it costs so much money to go on a missions trip. I'd rather just give to missions, to the indigenous people that live there. You know, Sue always wanted to go. I didn't want to go. God showed me, I don't care about your money. I care about your heart, and I want you to go because I want to show you some things, and I want to teach you. He was guiding me. I had no desire to raise financial support. My dad owned a store. I'd been working since I was 10 years old. I never took money from anybody. I did not want to ask people for financial support. God showed me, you're blessing people by going out and talking to them. You know, some people that we visited said, nobody from the church has ever visited us. Thank you for coming. We really enjoyed this. So we blessed people. And then people also blessed us. You know, it was really hard raising support. We were working full time, and at night we were going out meeting people we never really knew. One time we went, and this couple greeted us, and they said, before you start, we just want to let you know that we've prayed about it, and we've decided to give you this much monthly. It's like, what? You know, usually, like, you try to have to sell people. And God just blessed us, showing us again, you're not doing this. I'm involved with this. Trust me. And so God even used that, something that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to get out of that boat. I didn't want 20 people to come over to my house. I'm kind of a loner. And God showed me, let me teach you something about your wife. Let me show you. You're getting a lot of praise today. I like it. Let me show you this beautiful woman that you married, my daughter, who I've given the gift of hospitality. Let me show you how she can organize things. Let me show you how she can greet people and welcome people and make people feel loved. I want to show you my daughter. And I just was in a boat that I didn't want 20 people over my house. Are you getting the idea here that God is intimately involved with the boats that you don't want to get out of? I didn't want to teach a Bible study to one person. I prepared all week, did my research, prayed about it, Get to the class, one person shows up. At the end of the class, driving home, I'm a little discouraged. Sue says to me, "Wow, think about how much God loved that person, that he's the only one there, you know, with you and me and another friend of ours who was volunteering. He had three people ministering to him. Think about how much God loves him." Wow. I just thought about, I don't want to work that hard just to teach a Bible study to one person. That person became a Christian by the end. This was a summer Bible study. And for most of that summer, it was just that one person. By the end of the summer, that person became a Christian and became a leader in the Chinese church. God uses everything. God guides us and teaches us in all things, too. The more that we know that, the less we will be discouraged, the greater our ability to trust him, and the more excited you will be when the rearview mirror suddenly becomes your windshield and you suddenly start to see things. Wow, God is involved in what I'm doing. God cares for my children more than I do. God cares for my coworkers more than I do. God is a big God, and he is our Father, and he is good. Simple concepts that if you hold on to them, it will help you to grow, and it will help you to minister to others. Okay, do. Do has to do with our will. It involves our actions. John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a hard thing to learn, that Jesus is our life. Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. John 15:5, we can do nothing without him. Philippians, we can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's lots of times when I know that I can't do it, but I know I must do it. How? You got to depend totally on Jesus. The last Bible study of the semester for UAlbany this year, again, I worked very hard, very prepared. I get in, people are late, and then the fire alarm goes off. So we all march out of the building. Being a former educator, I take fire drills very seriously. You know, we got everybody out right away. Don't take the elevator, walk down the stairs. So we're sitting out there, and I have a choice. Lord, I'm really bummed out. I am not going to be able to get through the lesson tonight the way that I wanted to. Lord, thank you for this. How are you going to use this for your glory? I mean it. Those were two choices that I had, and I was not favoring the second one. But then I said, Lord, you are better than me, and you are more powerful than me. Lord, help me to see what you're doing. I looked down, and there's one of the students, and she is going back soon, and she has been up and down and all around about her commitment to the Lord. Sometimes she says things like, I'm so glad that I've learned so much about Christianity so that when I do more research in Rome, I'll be able to appreciate the art. Now, that's good, but that's not why I do, you know, what I do. And so I finally had enough nerve and said to her, what's going on? You know, I wouldn't do this, believe me, but this is a long time I've spent with her, many activities, many things, and I said, what is going on? She said, Danny, I have a friend back in China who is the vice president of our university. He used to invite us over to his home. He was a Christian. I never knew that. Very prominent scientist. They just released him from his position as vice president because of his Christianity. She said, now, Chinese are very, very interesting. The law does not dictate to them, circumstances dictate. The law is a servant of circumstances. So with this man, it was to their advantage to let him go as vice president, but because he was such a prominent scientist and useful, they let him still do that. So she said to me, I'm nervous. And it helped me to understand. She said, but I believe. And that just was the highlight of my night. And I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to say that to her if I didn't go through what I just went through, with people being late for the class and the fire drill and everything else. And I talked to her about baptism. She said, I don't want to do it in a church. And the church that I go to now, Loudonville, up in Albany, they've given me permission to baptize. And so I said to her, well, I can baptize you in our home. I said, but I'd like you to at least bring one or two friends with you so that it still is a public announcement of your faith. And so we'll see what happens there. And please pray for her, because she's going back soon. And I think it would be a blessing to her to be baptized. Okay. We're moving along. This is my favorite one. My favorite bit of information this morning, Jesus blesses our imperfect attempts and methods. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I know that we've read that one before, but it applies to a lot. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Jesus blesses our imperfect attempts. He wants his children to be involved in his work. And like I said before, our hearts are the most important thing to him, but he's still connecting it all and bringing it all into victory. I am an imperfect person, and I make many, many mistakes. And if I concentrate on all of my mistakes, it will paralyze me, and I won't do anything. God does not want me to do that. When I realize something that I've done wrong, I tell him I'm sorry. But then I continue to go out there and continue to try to serve him. And even in my imperfection, God blesses it. And in your imperfections, God will bless your attempts. You don't have to be perfect in your ability to witness. You don't have to be perfect in your love. But God will bless whatever you can do. Every one of us. You know, you say, why didn't God use angels to carry out his salvation plan? I know he uses angels occasionally, but the majority of work is done by human beings. Why didn't God use angels? It could have gone maybe a lot more efficiently. They're a lot more powerful than us. They're a lot more knowledgeable than us. Why does God use us? Because he loves you. You are his children. He's not stuck with you. He is blessed with you. But he's also the God of the universe, and he's not going to leave you the way you are. So he's changing your hearts. Again, he will change you on the inside so that you can grow. And then he will help you to reach out to others on the outside. And we will not see perfection until we stand with him in glory. So we have no excuse. Take what is little that you have and give it to him and allow his life to come forth in your death. And you will be a blessing to others and a blessing to yourself. Okay, review. The most important thing, surrender. If you're not a Christian yet, surrender your heart to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. I thank you you died on the cross for me. Please come into my life. Be the boss of my life. I give my life to you, O God. If you're a Christian and whatever you're struggling with, whatever boat you don't want to get out of, say, Lord, I'm really struggling in this area. I can't defeat it. I remember one time years ago, I was crying in the bathroom on the floor after about the 80th time that I asked God to forgive me of a certain sin and just doing it over and over again. I say, Lord, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I just felt, you know, it's not a lot of times that I feel this, but I felt God say to me, finally, you can't do it. You're right. Will you allow me to help you? Will you allow me to give you the strength and the guidance and the courage and the boldness and the victory? And he did. God is an awesome God we serve. So surrender. Surrender your heart. And know. Know that God uses all things. All things. And know that God will guide you and teach you in things. Be confident that God is good, that he's a loving father, and that he wants to use you. And then finally, do. Step out. Step out of the boat. Rely on Jesus completely. Don't give up. Keep serving. God will bless all your imperfect attempts. Praise him. Okay. How can you help us? Well, you can pray for us. You can pray that, for, you know, like what I said before about the woman who's going back soon and her baptism. But pray, you know, in the coming months as we start another semester that God will bring us the people that he is already working with. That God will open their hearts so that they will be receptive. Pray that we would have the wisdom to know how to best reach them. God used me once to reach a Chinese scholar because he struggled with, in the Old Testament, there was an explanation of bugs, and the explanation of bugs in the way the Old Testament was not scientific today. So he thought, well, if that's wrong, then the whole Bible could be wrong. And instead of me just saying, that's crazy, I went home and I researched it, and I came back to him and showed him the Israeli understanding, the Hebrew understanding of science in this area, and how it's not incorrect, it's just incomplete. And he became a Christian after that. Wow! You know, like the simplest little thing. God works in mysterious ways. He really does. All right. Pray for us. Sign up in the back for our newsletter. Because, you know, that you will know more specific prayers, like the one I just shared before. Without the prayers of God's people, we are not as effective as we can be. When people are praying for us, it increases the effectiveness of what we do. I don't understand all of it, but believe me, I know it's true. I've been in some dark situations, and I've experienced God's people praying for me. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Give financially. I mean, we still are about $500 a month short in our budget. If we could raise that, we would be more effective. Some people, there are a lot of people here that give. I just thank you. You guys have been with us from the beginning. Some of you may not have ever heard of us before. So please consider supporting us. We have people presently that give us $2 a month, and we have people that give us $200 a month. So there is no amount that's too small, and there's certainly no amount that's too large. So please consider that prayerfully. I know there's a lot of things out there that you can get involved with in your giving. So, you know, if God is leading you to support us, wonderful. If he's leading you to support somebody else, wonderful. Consider how to reach out yourself or with others. You can reach out to your neighbors, the jails, local colleges, family, friends, people at work and school. Remember, God blesses our imperfect attempts. He is working in our hearts and their hearts at the same time. Praise him. But the world needs you. There are hurting people out there that do not have hope, that do not know the joy of Jesus Christ, the promise of eternal life, the knowledge that their wrongdoing is forgiven, the encouragement that they can be more loving and forgiving. People need to hear this message. That's why God hasn't taken you home yet, because you still have work to do, changing in your own heart and reaching out to help change others. So I'd like to end with a prayer. God, you are our Father, and you are good. God wants all of us to be partners with him in his work, that of changing ourselves into the image of his Son and introducing the world, our family, and our friends to Jesus. Lord, I pray that these desires would be in each and every one of us. And if they're not, I pray that you would be honest and say to God, I should have these desires. Lord, help me to have them. And like I told you before, I don't always have them. I don't always wake up in the morning totally with these desires. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, I'm in a grumpy, rotten mood. Please help me to be loving. So I hope that this was beneficial. To surrender, to know, and to do. Thanks, everybody.